say that night, you know, that's a priority, and I'm very happy that that's a priority, and you guys that go in your lives. Then prayer meeting is Wednesday at 7, and women's Bible study, I think they talked about it last week when I was gone, on women of the Bible is at Thursday at 1 p.m. This is the Good Friday service, which they've been having every year for years. Is the same night as community prayer, and therefore the person that sent out the info used the same 6:30 p.m. That's corrected. If you want to go to that community,
7 p.m.
It's
7 not
p.m.
6:30
at Riverside, right?
7 p.m.
Right, and that's it's always been a good service, and it is. Our pastor will be there. It's nice to see lots of people from other churches.
If you don't get enough of me on Sunday, you get to hear me talk on Friday night.
Our Easter breakfast is a week from today at 9 a.m. And the food sign-up sheet is on the back table. And as you were told last night, last week we have a special church meeting that will be held after service today.
No, April 7th.
Oh, I should go down to the next line.
April 7th.
Keep reading. Yes. The next line's there for a reason. Okay, why do you have me do things? Just, am I like more entertaining than I am correct? Good. Okay, and the meeting's about, according to our Constitution, we have to do that before we spend a lot of money on something that we really need. Okay. Hopefully... anybody can stay to it, but hopefully the members will stay in 2 weeks. It'll be quick, I'm sure. And and today is the day we're taking the special offering for the
Rehema home.
For the
urgent needs of the Rehema home, yes.
Yes, okay. And I actually listened to last week's message, and I just caught that part when I had to turn. Anyhow. Yes, so that will be today, and hopefully that will be a good offering. It's just such a wonderful, wonderful... Can you imagine being Irvin Ruth? They've been there since, I mean...
Long time.
Yeah, they were probably almost at retirement age when they started. So bless God, and two volunteers to take the offering.
If you put something for the Rehema home today, we're encouraging you to do that, but we're taking just one offering today. So if you have something you want to contribute to the Rehema home, please make sure that you designate that so that it ends up going to the Rehema home and not in the general fund.
Oh, I would like to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, Father, for this sunny morning, Father, that bodes well for things to come. And thank you, Father, for the opportunity to live in this country where things can get crazy at times, but you take care of us, Lord. And, Father, we just would pray that out of what you have poured into our lives financially, we can make a tiny dent or a big dent, Lord God, in the needs at Rehema Home. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hope everyone got a song sheet today. They were out on the table. If you didn't get one, could you raise your hand? If you didn't get a song sheet and you need words to the songs, we are kind of in between on our new video system, so we're still printing off sheets. If you need one, they're out on the table, or raise your hand and somebody can bring you one. Looks like everybody's covered. All right. Would you stand with me this morning and let's worship our King of Kings. Praises rise. hearts are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. Hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Hosanna is in the highest. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory, glory to your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder in the presence of my enemies. Sing a little louder, louder than the unbelief. Sing a little louder, my weapon is a melody. Sing a little louder, heaven comes to fight for me. Sing a little louder, I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Oh, we give praise and thanks to you, Lord. We lift up your name. Oh, hallelujah to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus. Oh, praise your name. Oh, our King is alive. Oh, Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Beyond all my wildest dreams, your grace is alive in me. I'm caught in the overflow of mercy that won't let go. Here on this holy ground, standing before you now, Jesus, you are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how you love me so. Jesus, you are more than enough for me. finally my eyes can see. You've never abandoned me. I'm held by the kindness of a father who won't give up. My father, you'll never give up. Here on this holy ground, standing before you now, Jesus, you are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how you love me so. Jesus, you are more than enough. Here on this holy ground, standing before you now, Jesus, you are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how you love me so. Jesus, you are more than enough. Forever strong, forever faithful, all my life, you are enough for me. In every storm, in every battle, all my life, you are enough for me. Forever strong, forever faithful, all my life, you are enough for me. In every storm, in every battle, all my life, you are enough for me. Here on this holy ground, standing before you now, Jesus, you are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how you love me so. Jesus, you are more, here on this holy ground, standing before you now. Jesus, you are more than enough. If there's one thing I know, it's how you love me so. Jesus, you are more than enough for me. Oh God. Oh Jesus, you are more than enough. Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. Father, today we declare that. We declare that you are enough. You are more than enough. You are greater, Father. Oh, Jesus. Everything that we need, everything that we want, we can find in you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. We pray that you would help to tear away every idol that would try to promise something different. Help us to find all our dependency, all our hope in you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Jesus, we depend on you, Lord. We trust you. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, the people sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like You have loved me. Break my heart for what breaks Yours. Everything I am for Your kingdom's cause. As I walk from earth into eternity, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Oh, we sing Hosanna. Glory, glory to Your name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we lift up Your name. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise Father, we just, it's our desire to join with the heavenly chorus. Lord, we know that's happening in heaven. And throwing you in our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Oh, Father, we thank you that you are Lord. You are King. You are Lord of all. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Father, we just thank you that, Lord, we can trust you with everything. We can trust you with everything because you are the faithful God. You are our Savior. You are our Hosanna. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your help, Lord. In Jesus' name, glory to your name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Hopefully you can still hear me. All right. Is our recording happening yet? Do you know? Okay, thank you. All right. Well, happy Palm Sunday to you. We have a lot of people out and about visiting other places today, but those of you who are here, God bless you. Glad you could join us today. Wondered if there are any testimonies today.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Sure. Well, do I need the mic?
Absolutely you do. Except that it's about to die.
Okay. Well, hopefully the mic will outlast me. The last couple weeks have been pretty hectic for us. I almost got up last week, but I didn't. From refrigerators going bad, I'm not sure if you've ever, been refrigerator shopping, but it's not usually, I think I'll look for a refrigerator next month. I need one today. And we were kind of in that boat, and that was a week or so ago. And it was kind of funny because we were looking for one, and Lisa found one at Logos Appliance, but who delivers to Houghton anymore, apparently, which is one of the other things we found, at least tomorrow. They deliver, a week from now or 2 weeks from now. So she found us one at Logos that we decided we'd try to get, and so I thought, well, we need to find a truck rental. So she's looking for truck rentals, and she says, well, there's one in Centerville. And after I got done laughing, I said, sure, where would that be? And she says, oh, Uncle Tom's Cabin. And after I got done laughing again, I said, well, so she calls Uncle Tom's Cabin and talked to Uncle Tom, I presume, but I'm really not sure. But sure enough, they rent U-Hauls. And so we were able to get a U-Haul, drive to Strikersville, and get our refrigerator. And that was all, it was just a lot of stress. But it was just so cool the way the Lord provided Uncle Tom's Cabin for us. And but then this past week, it was just just this hectic stuff. And our granddaughter, Clara, who's 10 years old, just turned 10 earlier this month, she's in a play, a high school musical, actually, The Music Man. And so she was Amaryllis, the little girl in the high school play. And she did just spectacular. We were up yesterday and saw that. But in the midst of that, there was the funeral for her great-grandfather. And she just struggled on Friday after the funeral. She was just struggled with some sadness and meanwhile trying to prep for this play performance, and it's like a two-hour, but a part of 3 hours till it's all said and done, actually. But she did super, and she was able to rebound from the funeral. It was just really great to see God's provision in their lives as well as she was prepping for all that. And her great-grandfather was a Christian, and we didn't get to the service, but we saw the program, and it was really it looked like it was a really, really good service. The theme verse was the "Let not your heart be troubled," and it was. I just thought that was a really cool verse for a funeral service. So, okay, I guess I better quit.
And I think the mic quit. So, oh no, it didn't. There's enough battery for another testimony. Someone must have one.
anything else that God has done. Going once, going twice. Thank you. A few prayer needs today. I want to lift up Tom and Judy Brazell. They are out ministering today. They went to visit family, but when he goes, he often gets an opportunity to preach in a church. Well, he's always getting asked to preach somewhere. And it's somewhere down in Philadelphia in a church that he used to work with there. So, and he's probably up in front of the congregation right now so we can lift him up. And continue to pray for Curtis Corky. He is still recovering, but he's in that time after his surgery where any bump or bang that he might happen to get would be catastrophic for his tendon repair. So he's got to wait a little. He's scared to come out into, not scared, but he's very cautious to come out into public. So just doesn't want to risk anything. So he's still laying kind of low, and I think in another week he's going to be going crazy. So I know if it was me, I would be. So Denise.
Uh-huh. He did say, hopefully he's better. We've been praying for him, but last night, their little baby's sick now, too. But if we could pray for them.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't know, Chris Regan, son of Pat and Denise Regan, is we support them in ministry through the International House of Prayer and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They're active in both of those things. So it's tough. Tough enough to be in ministry and then have everybody get sick. So, and when you got kids, it seems like somebody is sick all the time. So let's remember them today. And we want to remember the needs of the Rehema home. If you came and you wanted to contribute to that and you weren't able, Rehema home is happy to take your donations anytime. That's an ongoing thing for our church, but there are some particularly important needs with that right now. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up our brother and sister Tom and Judy Brazell to you today, and we thank you that, Father, where they go, they have the chance to light fires. They have a chance to speak and to provoke people to service. And God, I pray that you would bless them today. Bless Brother Tom's word that he's going to share with people in the church where he's landed down near Philadelphia. And I pray that you would anoint and use him, Father. Bless them both and help them to bring encouragement to that congregation, Lord. We lift up Curtis to you. We pray, Father, that you would accelerate his healing and that you would protect that shoulder, Lord. Give it back to him, Father. Lord, I know that you have many good things ahead for he and his wife, Randy, Lord. We thank you for their life, their ministry. I pray that you would restore him in Jesus' name. And Father, we lift up Chris and his family, Lord, Chris Regan. Lord, we pray that you would deliver them from this sickness. Father, I don't know what it is, but Lord, it doesn't matter. We pray against that illness, that it would be broken in their house in Jesus' name. Father, that you would strengthen their bodies. Father, we're praying. We want to pray heaven down on that house today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would deliver them from illness, from pestilence. God, in Jesus' name, let it depart from them. And let healing and strengthening flow to the whole family, Lord. All of them, Lord, deliver them from that. Be their deliverer. Cause them to recover quickly, Lord, in Jesus' name. We give you thanks and praise. Father, we have Easter holiday coming up soon, and Lord, we know that that's a time where some people who don't go to church any other time might go to church, Lord. And Father, sometimes we laugh at that and think, oh, they only come on Easter. Well, God, we pray they'd come on Easter, Lord. God, if they can come and hear the gospel, Lord, and have another chance to have their life transformed, bring them, Lord. Father, I pray that you would bless our breakfast, that you would bless that morning, and that you would bring people to hear the gospel, that Jesus has risen and there is resurrection life in his name. Oh, we trust you for it, Father. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do remember our Easter breakfast coming up, and there is the sign-up list in the back, and there's still some slots for things. And take the opportunity to invite somebody. People like food. Have you discovered that they like food? It's one thing to invite them to church, but you get to invite them to breakfast. You know, oh, come and have some quiche, you know. Invite them. We've discovered that people really do like food. Take the opportunity. And it's a chance for them to come. And maybe they kind of want to come to church. Maybe it's Easter, but they don't know anybody, and it feels a little funny, but they could come to breakfast. Take that chance. Step out and invite people. And if we get lots and lots, we always have enough food. There's always enough food. So, glory to God. Please remember our congregational meeting that's coming up. Denise announced it, but if you see the blue square on the wall, we're hoping that in about three or four weeks, it will be replaced with a nice big video screen so we don't have to hold the pieces of paper and sing words from that way. We'll have a couple of screens and one in the back so that Pastor Dave doesn't have to keep turning around to, well, whatever. Hopefully we'll have all of the specs and stats on all of that to give you in a week or so you have a chance to look that over. But what we can do for this and come up with a beautiful video system is going to be cheaper than replacing that whole thing. So I think it's a good option, and the board thinks it's a good option, but we want to present it to the church for your approval. So please think and be in prayer for that. Our brother Tom Brazell has done a lot of legwork on that, and appreciate all that he's put into that. I hope that I have remembered everything. And if I haven't, somebody will let me know. Okay, well, happy Palm Sunday. Did you get a palm? I hope you did. I want to talk today about Palm Sunday. What a surprise. Are you surprised? What we call the triumphal entry. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to look in Luke chapter 19. This is one of those places in the Gospels where each of the four Gospels records this. There are a lot of things that two or three of the Gospels mention and maybe one of them doesn't, but this is one of those things that is brought out in all four of the Gospels, and therefore it's very important. I think it's very, very, very important. We're going to look in Luke 19, and beginning in verse 28, I'm going to read verses 28 through 40. Beginning in verse 28, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent out two of his disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying this, tell him the Lord needs it. How did Jesus know that there was going to be a colt there? How did he know? How did he know that someone would come out and say, you know, why are you doing this, and just say the Lord needs it? How did he know that? That was a word of knowledge. That was a gift of the Spirit, of the word of knowledge. The Lord God imparted that to Jesus at that time so that that gift could operate. Verse 32, so those who were sent went out and found it just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked, why are you untying the colt? The Lord needs it, they answered. Then they led the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over it, and put Jesus on it. As he rode along, the people spread their cloaks on the road, and as he approached the descent from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully in a loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he answered, if they remain silent, the very stones would cry out. I almost wish they had been silent because I'd like to know what the stones could cry out. That'd be kind of a cool thing. Interesting that Jesus comes in on a foal of a donkey. When it says a colt, if you look at the other Gospels, it's very clear that it's not a horse. It's clearly a donkey. And there's an interesting distinction there because riding in on a horse would symbolize something entirely different, strength and victory. But coming in on a young donkey, a foal, symbolized humility. A whole different thing. And that scripture that they reference there is Zechariah 9:9. That says, Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now think of a grown man, Jesus, coming in as they're recognizing him as the Messiah, and he's coming in on this little tiny donkey. He wasn't a great big thing. It was a little big. And here's this grown man, probably his feet are just about dragging on the ground, and he's riding on this little animal. It's almost, I don't want to say it's almost comical, but it just doesn't fit the entrance of the great king. And the crowds there, when they say the multitude, they mean a multitude. This was the time of Passover, and people were flooding into Jerusalem for Passover. They were flooding in. But there was another reason. Just ahead of this, Jesus had been in Bethany, and what happened there? He called Lazarus out of the tomb. People saw a guy who was dead for 4 days get up and walk out with his bandages on. You know, talk about a mummy movie. You know, out he comes, and they had to unwrap him, and they found him alive. Amazing. Well, don't think that didn't cause a huge stir. And it says in the other Gospels, it says the people there were throngs of people in Bethany. And then when they heard that Jesus was going to Jerusalem, they're like, whoa, got to go to Jerusalem. Amazing. Amazing, too, in one of the other Gospels, it talks about how people were coming because they wanted to see Jesus, but they also wanted to see Lazarus. This really cool thing because he came to life. And the depravity of the chief priests and the scribes to say they were plotting. They were so angry. They wanted to kill Jesus. And then they wanted to kill Lazarus because people were believing in God because of Lazarus, because he came back to life. The contradiction of terms is just absolutely mind-blowing. But do you see what jealousy does? Jealousy will cause a person's entire perception to be so warped and so twisted that they would come against the very thing that they say that they worship and come against the most amazing miracle that could happen, raising someone from the dead, and want to kill them again. It's almost incomprehensible, but there was that huge crowd thronging. And what do they say? Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, you know, when the scribes and the Pharisees heard that, they knew exactly what they were saying. That is a direct quote from Psalm 118. It's a prophetic pronouncement. Verses 25 and 26 of Psalm 118. O Lord, save us, we pray. We beseech you, Lord, cause us to prosper. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They recognized that the people were calling Jesus. He wasn't just a great guy. He was the Messiah. He was coming in, and they were heading out. Their influence was decreasing, and Jesus' influence was growing exponentially, just out of control. And so that's why they said, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop saying this. Nope. And you know what? It's not a secret anymore. We're not going to hide it anymore. We're not going to tell people, be quiet, I just healed you, don't go around and tell everybody. Now it's like the cat's out of the bag. Jesus is not hiding it anymore. He's marching into Jerusalem. They know full well that he is the Messiah. And they were right to praise him the way they did. They were right. They were doing the right thing for the wrong reason. The people were rejoicing and worshiping Jesus, which, yes, they should do that, but for the entirely wrong reason. I don't think there was a person on the face of the earth at that time who got it, who understood what was happening. The Jews there were expecting their Messiah to be their great deliverer. From what? From their sins? No! From Rome! They thought Jesus was coming. Their Messiah was going to come. He was going to lead them in revolt, that they would oust the Romans and restore the land to Israel. They would go back. They would have their temple. They would be restored to their law and their worship of God according to the Old Testament scriptures. That is exactly what they were expecting. His disciples were even expecting it. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, they asked him, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's like even after Jesus rose from the dead, they still didn't get that it was not an earthly kingdom. So they were going to usher him into the temple, and he was going to sit as a king, a military king. Oh boy. And by whatever means, who knows? Maybe they were expecting miracles like, you know, Moses parted the Red Sea, maybe calling down fire from heaven and giving victory against their enemies, but delivering them from Rome and restoring their land and their kingdom. And they were absolutely convinced that that was what's going to happen. Just preceding the triumphal entry, there's a very telling word at the beginning of what I read at the start, Luke 19:28. After Jesus had said this, said what? What did he say? Well, we got to go back to verses 26 and 27 to find out. Jesus had just told the parable of the minas or the talents. I don't like to use the word talent because it sounds like some kind of an ability. It was an amount of money. Jesus gave to one, landowner gave to one servant 10 talents, one to five, gave five talents and another one. And the one with 10 went out and made more money and brought his master a return. The one with five did the same thing, and the one with one hid it in the ground. And the owner rebukes him and says, lazy, miserable servant, you could have at least gotten interest. And he said, take everything away from him and give it to the one who has 10. And then in verse 26, Jesus said, I tell you that everyone who has will be given more, but the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And then he says, and these enemies of mine who are unwilling for me to rule over them, bring them here and slay them in front of me. Now, mind you, that was a parable. But this is what he said just before he goes into Jerusalem on the donkey. That would just cement that whole image of the military victor coming in. They knew that the Messiah was coming. They knew it was Jesus, and they knew he was going to lead them in a revolt against Rome. Only he didn't. They knew he was gonna. Only he didn't. So, and as a matter of fact, when we get to verse 41, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem amidst the crowds that are rejoicing and Savior, our great Savior, here he comes. What does he do? He starts crying. Jesus starts crying. Verse 41, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And all the people are going, woo, and waving their palms. And he wept over it and said, if only you had known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will barricade you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will level you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Ay, ay, ay. They did the right thing for the wrong reason. But they knew. They knew. But they, or so they thought they did. Can I encourage you? It's very important for us to be careful about what we know. Can you be very careful about what you feel like you know? Now, mind you, there are some things we know. We know. We know we believe in God, in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. He is our Savior, our Deliverer. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God. But there is a whole realm of other things where we think that we know. Boy, you want to get somebody going, ask them what they think about the end times. I just hope and pray that God doesn't make me teach the book of Revelation. Because I don't get it. You know, I mean, I think I sort of get, And you want to start a good fight, just get into it with some people. And, you know, but be careful when you think you know. I love the saying that says, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. But it's interesting, see, the crowd worshipped Jesus when they thought they were going to get what they wanted. Yay, Jesus! He's going to give us what we want! Wahoo! Remember in Luke chapter 4, there was another time where Jesus confronted everybody. Ooh, I think I got it here. I'm looking forward to the day where we can project all of this again. But if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verses 18 to 28, 10 verses here. This is where Jesus, it's the very outset of his public ministry. He's in the temple, and he goes up to read, as is the tradition in the synagogue for men to come up. And In verse 18, Jesus comes up and opens to the book of Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim..." "To release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, returned it to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began by saying, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. That is a claim and a half. He just said this thing about the Messiah. Guess what? "All spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that came from his lips." But then, the next sentence is telling, "Isn't this the son of Joseph?" And then some of the other gospels say, "Wait, isn't his mothers and his brothers and his sisters all here with us? Wait, we know this guy. He's nothing special." Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what you have heard that you what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" Then he added, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But I tell you truthfully that there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the city was shut for 3.5 years and great famine swept over the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow of Zarephath in Sidon. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." Well, they didn't like the sound of that one bit, because it meant they weren't going to get what they wanted. Jesus said, "You have a lot of unbelief. And it happened before in Israel, and the people didn't get what they wanted and needed, because they wouldn't believe, and you aren't believing either." You know, in so many words, that's what he's saying. You're not going to get what you want. Well, guess what? They didn't like that. I don't like it when the Lord tells me I'm not going to get what I want either. And sometimes he tells me that. I don't like it. Only I wouldn't have done this. On hearing this, all the people in the synagogue were enraged. They flipped out. "They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him over the cliff. But Jesus passed through the crowd and went on his way." It wasn't his time yet. He got away. But do you see what unbelief and disappointment can do to a people? The very crowds that were like, "Hosanna, Jesus is coming." The 1 week, the next week, they're saying, "Crucify him." Why? He didn't give us what we wanted. He wasn't who we thought he was. He didn't save us. He hasn't done anything. Get rid of him. Wow. And then after that, well, let's hold on that. How we deal with disappointment is vital to our Christian walk. It really is. When God doesn't move in the way that we wanted or in the way that we expected or the way that we expected, disappointment can cause unbelief and anger and bitterness and depression. When God doesn't move in the way that we think that we expected him to do it, we didn't get what we wanted. You know, Jesus went into the temple after they ushered him in to Hosanna's, and what does he do? He starts flipping out. He flips the tables. He throws the money away. He cleanses all the junk out of the temple. Cleans it all up. People are like, "Yeah, here he comes." And then what does he do? He looks around at everything and goes back out. You were supposed to stay in there. You're supposed to be the king. And he just walks out. He's just gone. The people who ushered him in must have been left cold. It's like, what is this? The problem wasn't with Jesus. It was with their expectation. And a false expectation of what God's going to do can really, really, really be hurtful. You know, I'll be honest with you, when I came back here, I was part of this church for a long time, for 35 years, and my wife and I left the church. We went somewhere else. And then we came back and visited, and then they asked me if I would be the pastor, which I was shocked at. But prior to our coming back, a lot of people left this church. A lot of people left. God just left out of various reasons. And when I came back and the church said, yes, we want you to be our pastor, and I thought, I'll come back. The people who left, they'll come back. I'm sure they'll come back. And I went around and I met with people and I sat with them and I listened to their stories and I prayed with people and I tried to mend bridges and tear down the fences and just get things right with lots of people. And then most of those people didn't come back. They were happy to see me. We were glad we had restored fellowship, but they were somewhere else. And after about 8 months, my wife and I were really discouraged. We were really discouraged. And I remember we looked at each other and we thought people were, we expected something. And we didn't know the timing of God. We didn't know what He was working on. We didn't know what He was going to do. We still don't necessarily know the timing of God. But we had an expectation that was really wrong, and we had to work through and fight through that and release that expectation up to God and say, Lord, You are sovereign. You take it. You do it. And the church is Yours. We take our hands off it. Jesus was coming to with a spiritual kingdom, spiritual peace with God, forgiveness, everlasting life. Did you know that there's more than one palm worship in the Scriptures? The Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry that we see, is not the only time that that happens. Anybody know where it is? Jesus was a living prophetic image to the people of that time. That triumphal entry was a prophetic word of what was going to come in Revelation chapter 7. Listen to Revelation chapter 7, and you're going to hear Palm Sunday right here, verses 9 and 10. After this, I looked, John the Apostle looked, and saw a multitude too large to count from every nation and tribe and people and tongue standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. There it is again. That's the reality that Jesus was pointing to when He went in on that donkey. But He came in meek and lowly. He came in as a servant, not as a conquering king. I think he was trying to give them a clue. Look, I'm not riding in here on a steed. He came as a servant. Matthew 21, 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus was going to be a servant, not a conquering king. The disciples were still thinking in that austere militaristic manner. In Luke 9, Jesus is passing through a Samaritan village on his way to Jerusalem, and when the Samaritans found out that he was going to Jerusalem, they're like, you can't stay here, get out. They wouldn't accept him. And what do his disciples say? Lord, shall we call down fire upon them to consume them like Elijah did? Yeah, fry them to the ground. And Jesus, what does Jesus say? He said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Matthew 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. For Palm Sunday this year, can I encourage you two things, or three things? Number one, be wary of false expectations. God is going to move in this way, and then when he doesn't, it can be hard. We were believing God for this, and it didn't happen. False expectations that can cause we have to be able to give them up. There are times in my life where I've just said, why, Lord, why? And I've had to release that why and say there is no answer to that question. Until I'm in glory with the Lord, I won't know. But be wary of false expectations. When disappointments come, submit them to Jesus. Submit them to him who in the garden said, not my will, but yours be done. I submit my will unto you. Not my will, but yours be done. And then until Jesus comes, understand that we are always going to know in part. 1 Corinthians 13 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. We're not going to know until we're with him. We're always going to know in part. It's interesting how throughout the history of the church, problems from the time of Jesus until now, problems have arisen through the church. Denominations have arisen, splits in the church, factions all over the place, because people thought they knew. It's because people thought they knew. The Anabaptists realized, wow, they're baptizing babies. That you need to believe. It says, repent and be baptized. And they began to teach a believer's baptism. So what did the reformers do? They started killing the Anabaptists. Killing them. Why? Because they knew it was their tradition. We baptize children. That's the way it's supposed to be. Can't be careful. Be careful how you know. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. Be able to embrace the body of Christ. Be able to embrace the body of Christ. I have a pastor that I'm friends with, and he'll tell me right to my face, I do not believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I can pray with that guy. We can intercede together for our region. I have good fellowship with him. We can go and worship in their church. Why? Because the differences must not be allowed to split the body of Christ. But I know I'm right. Oh, shut up. Get over yourself. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, Jesus, when he returns, what's in part will be done away with, and then we'll really know. Father, Lord, there are times in our life where we face things that are difficult, like this crowd did. They had a great disappointment. You didn't do what they thought you were supposed to do. It didn't happen the way it was supposed to happen. And the whole crowd turned. And in 1 week's time was shouting for the death of the one that they had hailed the week before. Father, I pray that you would help us to be people who deal with disappointments and problems and hurts in our lives, even when things don't happen the way we thought they were going to happen. When things don't work out the way they were supposed to work out. But Lord, we acknowledge you as our sovereign Lord. And Lord, we submit our lives to you under your hand. And we thank you that you know better than we do. And Father, we pray that you would help us to submit ourselves and our will to your perfect plans. And Father, we trust you. And Lord, help us to be people who have hearts that are submitted and not resisting what you want to do. And Father, help us also to be people that do not cling so tightly to what we know that we cannot be part of your precious body, Lord. Help us with that, Father. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, that we can be gracious and love our brothers and sisters, even the ones that think they know. And sometimes we think we know. Help us, Lord. Help us to be able to love each other in all things charity. And Father, we just submit our lives, our days to you, Father, and we pray that you would help us to walk with you in spite of whatever happens. Lord, if we expect you to march into our lives and bring order to everything, and it looks like everything is chaos, Father, we're going to trust you anyway. We're going to believe you anyway, and we're going to walk with you anyway and know that you are the sovereign God and that you are in control. And we thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to your name, Lord. If you're here today and you need prayer, we always have a time of prayer at the end of the service. We do believe in the gifts of healings. We believe in deliverance. We believe in salvation. If you're here today and you aren't sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, today's the day to make that real. You might not get another chance. The scripture says we don't know what another day holds. So if you're here today and you would like prayer, we would love to pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you. Come to rejoice next week as we remember the Lord's resurrection and invite somebody for breakfast. It'll be a blessing. God bless you. If you want prayer, please come now. Thank you, Lord.